It's about more than wins or losses in Tennessee this weekend for Jacksonville. This is Tony Wiggins with the Jacksonville Jaguars report here on Locked On Jaguars. I do believe if the Jaguars go to Nashville and have a pathetic showing, which they have done on different occasions, I believe you'll end up seeing this be the nail in the coffin for this staff. And what I mean by this staff, I think the first one to fall will be Coach Doug Marrone if they go up and do not play well and look as bad as they've looked in their last two games. This team needs to go on a massive winning streak in order to make the playoffs, period. Playing respectable football can help them in one way. It could look like they're fighting, and the staff will be allowed to finish the season to see if they can get some momentum towards the end of the year. But I do believe that if they go up and lay a flat-out egg and look as disjointed as they have been, that Doug Marrone will probably be let go, maybe even before the season is over. Now, that would make it seem like I'm one of those guys that love to fire people right away. And really, I'm really not that type of guy. I just know when reality sets in, you got to make people believe. You got to make the players believe. You got to make the fans believe. I do believe this group at some point this year got really, really close and really, really started to feel like a family. And I think that's a credit to Doug Marrone and to a credit to the rest of those coaches for keeping everybody intact and keeping everybody together. I just believe at some point things get stale. And what the Jags have done is the Jags have had a non-egomaniac as a head coach ever since Shaq Khan bought the team. There's been a non-egomaniac head coach. In fact, the reason I use that term is because Shaq Khan himself said what he did not want was an egomaniac coach. And I just really, really believe that in the NFL, sometimes that's exactly what you need, because I think an egomaniac is also an accountability person. And they're going to take accountability for everything. They're also the type of people that are usually sort of micromanagers, as opposed to giving guys room to do what they want to do and letting the room shape itself. They have a big imprint on it. And I know a lot of y'all think what I'm describing is a younger version of Tom Coughlin. I kind of am. I've always said I never had a problem with Tom Coughlin as a coach. I don't have a problem with Tom Coughlin as a person, because it's not personal. My issue has always been Tom Coughlin in this role of senior vice president of this football team, and if he could avoid doing what, even if you feel it's necessary for him to do and say some of the things that he's done and said, I think it's counterproductive. So for him in that role to do it, if those things are going to be said, the coach needs to be the one. The coach needed to be the one to pull Jalen Ramsey aside. That's my opinion. But the coach isn't that type of dude, and the coach was a little bit unbothered by Jalen Ramsey. So the fact is, you always wonder, and anybody who's been at a press conference where the coach turns around and looks at the PR guy and says, I wish somebody else would come down here and answer these questions, basically, what that signals is this. The signal is that there are people that are doing things that are taking action and causing reactions and saying stuff and making moves, but then I'm the one that has to stand up here, even though I'm out of the loop on those things, because I've heard several times Doug Marrone say, that's not my decision, that's above my pay grade or whatever, you know. So he shouldn't have to be able to come down and answer for things that other people are doing. Now, I know there's this one voice, okay, and I get it. But when there's one voice, that voice ought to be somebody who is a little bit more involved in all of these other things that are going on that he constantly has to stand in front of the media and explain. It's been uncomfortable, and you could tell. And it's not just the Jalen situation, it's other situations. And he didn't just specifically say about that one situation. He said, I wish there was somebody else standing here in front of you, basically answering these questions about a lot of this stuff. So, and that's paraphrasing what happened that day. That's not a direct quote, but you get the feeling that there's always something going on that he doesn't have an answer for that you would expect the coach, or if you look around the league, the coach actually does have the answer for it, or there should be some other press conference where somebody else is speaking on this stuff, and it's just not happening. I think if the Jags want to improve, they have to improve upon that. And if they don't improve upon that with this current group, that means that's why I think eventually you're going to see a change, man. You have to. Something's got to give. Something has got to give. In fact, the last time there were changes, they were halfway changes. I'm going to tell you why I think it's important that there be whole-way changes and not halfway changes in the offseason. And I'll do it in just a second. Attention past and present future MyBookie players. During Thanksgiving week, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congratulations. You've got extra holiday spending money. But if you lose, well, congratulations again, because you don't lose anything. MyBookie will give you all your money back. It's a no-brainer because you literally cannot lose. It's no risk, all gravy. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player for the first time or if MyBookie welcomes you to play as a return customer. Don't sit around and wait. Sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting to bet on sports but have a lot of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie has a patient customer service team that can walk you through the process. And the best part of it is, if you join this Thanksgiving week, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible signing offer, which I'm about to tell you about. Just log into MyBookie.ag and make your first deposit with the promo code MLB, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to start your bankroll, and that's on top of the risk-free bet. Repeat, that's a guaranteed deposit match and free risk bet for Thanksgiving only. So if you're a true fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply can't lose. It's MyBookie.ag, where you play, you win, and you get paid. All right, hopefully the Jags will go to Nashville, Tennessee, and get paid this weekend with a victory that'll keep them alive for a playoff spot, which I think it's pretty obvious now, unless Tennessee – unless Houston really goes out and lays an egg, it's going to be for a wild card spot, because Houston now has a 2.5 game lead in front of the Jags. I wanted Houston to win the game last night to separate themselves from the bunch. And what I mean by that is the Jags don't have a chance to play them anymore. So therefore, catching up to them is hard. If they're 2.5 games in front of you and you still have two shots at them and you win both, that makes up more ground than you winning a game and then hoping that they lose and somebody else not being able to help you out. You can control more stuff. But Houston's beat them twice. And now that Houston's won and gotten closer to winning the division, you don't want Houston to be the team that Jacksonville ends up with a tie. So therefore, you're hoping for one or two things. You're hoping Houston either – just totally tanks and plunders and loses four of the next six games or four of the next five games, which I don't think is going to happen. So you then have to hope that Houston just absolutely separates itself from the pack, wins the division, and you beat Tennessee, and then you beat the Colts, and then they play each other again, I believe. And you hope Houston, if they play them again, beats both of them, whatever the schedule is. That's why you want Houston to just run away from it, because then they'll start beating Indy and then they'll start beating Nashville if you need them to. And then you can beat both of those teams. Therefore, getting to that 10-6 spot and sitting there now, you're not in a head-to-head situation with a team that's beat you twice. If anything, you're in a head-to-head situation with someone that you split with in the division, or if it's like Oakland. If it's like Oakland, you want Kansas City to win that division, because now Oakland will be the wild card. What you don't want is to end up in a tie with Kansas City as the wild card, because Kansas City beat you head to head. So if Oakland is the wild card and the Jaguars go to Oakland later this year and you beat them and your record is identical, that's how you want this to play out. You want this to play out that every team that you've either beaten already, split with already, or have a chance to beat, are the teams that can potentially tie you for a wild card spot. You don't want Houston. You don't want Kansas City, because they beat you head to head. So I really believe that what happened last night with Houston beating Indianapolis was a part of a helpful part of this process for Jacksonville to get to where they need to get to. The reason I think if they lose this game and if they lose this game ugly, first I'm going to separate those two things. I think if they lose the game ugly, you might see an immediate switch. You might see an immediate switch. It might be the first change, and then what? And then it'll probably give DeFilippo a chance to be the interim coach. If they don't lose ugly, I think Shad just does what Shad has always done, and that's be patient and sort of wait this thing out until the end of the year. If you get to the end of the year, I've always suggested wholesale changes, but in this case, I'm gonna switch it up a little bit, because in the past, the Jaguars haven't made wholesale changes. They've always kept someone. When they kept Dave Caldwell after they fired Gus Bradley, I had a little bit of a problem with it at that time, because Dave's early drafts weren't that good and his early free agent signings weren't that good. And I didn't think the organization was any further along after those first 4 years. I didn't think the organization was any further along than they were after year two. Therefore, I believe at the time that there needed to be wholesale changes from top to bottom. Then they made it even worse by taking the defensive line coach and making him the defensive coordinator, and that's Todd Wash, and actually having him sit in on the interviews. This was right before they fired Gus. Had him sit in on the interviews of the prospective defensive coordinators that they were interviewing, and I thought that was the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. What it tells me is they knew that they were going to hire Todd Wash. They brought all of these other guys in for Todd to listen to their ideas. Well, here's my thing. If Todd had to listen to their ideas, then Todd wasn't the right one for the job. Why would you do that? That made no sense to me at that time. So then I was just like, blow it all up. So then when they fired Gus Bradley and a bunch of other people, they still didn't blow it all up because they retained Todd Wash. So I'm sitting here wondering, like, what's going on? They let Dwayne Washington go, who's a really good defensive back coach, and everybody knows it. He's in Cleveland now. And then they bring in Perry Fuel. They bring in a lot of guys that had worked with Tom Coughlin in the past. And then after last year, they let all of those guys go. They let Marion Hobby go, who's now coaching the defensive line down in Miami. But then they retained certain people. They've never really, really washed their hands of everything that they started after Shad Khan bought this team. I wouldn't suggest at this point getting rid of Dave Caldwell. And the only reason I say that is because he has, I believe, improved and gotten better. The only thing I question, and I've said this before, is, and I've told him this to his face, the sign and release philosophy of, well, we'll just get somebody until we get somebody better. Obviously, that's the way everyone thinks. You're always looking to improve your football team. But to boldly lead with that, I think, has been a big, big mistake, because it's almost like you're hedging your bets. And then the other thing that you're doing is you're basically not punishing yourself for not evaluating properly and not trying to build a foundation of a football team that's going to stay together for 6-7 years. And you're always in change mode. And I think deep down in the psyche of these players, they know it and they sense it. Jacksonville has to stop becoming a lottery ticket for free agents. I think Jacksonville needs to get to the point where they draft their own and they reward their own. You can't justify getting rid of players that you draft, but then also point to the fact that you got a lot of production out of them while they were on rookie deals, and you also got compensation for them when they left. To me, that's hustling backwards. That's hedging your bets. To me, what that is saying, we actually never did anything, but it didn't cost us anything either. Yeah, but see, when you don't lose your job and you don't think there's a threat that you're going to lose your job, it doesn't cost you anything. You know who it costs? It costs the fans. The fans are the ones that have emotional currency invested into this team that over and over and over again, they keep going through this cycle of we're going to be okay. Let's get it together. This is a new start. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's not okay. It doesn't get better. It's not a new start. The average Jaguar fan is someone who has a PhD in rebuilding because, in my opinion, they've seen it a little too much. This has to stop. This is a vicious cycle that can ruin a fan base where you're trying to build. You lose 3,000 or 4,000 fans that say, I'm done with you, and then you get some more, and then you want to always preach about viability. I really, really believe that they have to understand the goal is to not analytically get compensation or have a good trade-off for everything. The goal is to win. The goal is to contend. The goal is to get to the playoffs. And sometimes there are some things you're going to have to sacrifice in order to do that. And I'm going to tell you guys some things that I think have to be sacrificed in order to get that done. And I'm going to do it after I tell you about our friends over at Away. Away creates thoughtful products designed to change how you see the world. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/lockedon. Use the promo code locked on during checkout. Listening on the go? If you can't visit Away right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On Sports at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Buckle your seatbelts for the last segment. I'm going to give it to you in just a second. All right, so here's the sacrifice that has to be had. And you have to approach this from a macro perspective. I think sometimes currying favor and having fans and media love and like every decision can be dangerous because you're living for that one little moment. I don't care about you trying to win the press conference. If you're going to hire another coach in here, he doesn't have to be friendly with people. In fact, he can almost be the type of person that kind of rubs folks the wrong way. Because in the end, people just want to win. And people will buy into grumpy. They have to have and play with a chip on their shoulder. And the chip can't be the fact that people are always looking at them as if they're somebody's little brother. Or they're always looking at them as some team that's trying to leave and go to London. Or they're always looking at them as the woe is me, we don't have the viability, so we have to do these things because we're in a small market. Nobody cares about that stuff. Ain't nobody trying to feel sorry for you. What you have to actually do is you have to be that bully, that little Joe Pesci bully, that little Napoleon Bonaparte bully that walks into a room and goes up and slaps the biggest guy in the room. We are not Dallas. We are not New York. We're not Chicago. We are Jacksonville. And you notice how I said that? That's different than saying, well, we're Jacksonville, and we have to do what we have to do. See, that's why guys look at this as a paycheck. That's why guys look at Jacksonville as a come-up. They just think, you know, you hear them, they say all the right things when they come, and then when they leave, they snicker on the way out the door. This has been going on since Jerry Porter. This has been going on since Hugh Douglas. This has been going on since Torrey Holt. You know who changes that stuff? Ownership. You know who changes that stuff? The coach. You know who changes that stuff? We don't just talk about grit and winning. We are grit and winning. That's the kind of stuff that needs to happen. I can give you a couple of names of guys that I think will have that attitude. Oh, by the way, Jim Harbaugh would have that attitude. And he's a good, sound football coach. Probably a better pro coach than he is a college coach. I don't know if you can pull him, but that's a guy that I would mention. Josh McDaniels would have that attitude. Probably would ruffle some feathers. There's no woe is me in his voice. But the thing is that accountability that they have with themselves and the way that they speak to the media will permeate through the locker room also, and guys will develop a winning culture. Mike McCarthy would do the same thing. You know, if you can rub the Hall of Fame quarterback Aaron Rodgers the wrong way, that means you probably have a little bit of toughness, but you also have something else. You got hardware on your finger. and you have a history of dealing with locker rooms and dealing with certain situations that come up, and being bigger than letting one player or two players dominate the team. If you butt heads with Aaron Rodgers and you go toe to toe and spar with Aaron Rodgers, that means I think you're a pretty big deal. And that means you think you're a pretty big deal. And nobody's going to believe you're a pretty big deal until you believe and act like you're a pretty big deal and stop acting like little brother. And I'm not saying Doug doesn't act like he's. I think Doug Marrone has gotten a little bit of a raw deal, because I think there's been a little bit of a disconnect, even though he has the utmost respect for Tom Coughlin. There's nothing more telling than the fact that when Jalen Ramsey went off on Doug Marrone and Doug Marrone went back off on it, and Doug Marrone by halftime, it was over with and it was gone, that Tom Coughlin felt the need to come and corner up Jalen Ramsey and say whatever he said to Jalen Ramsey when he could have just called Jalen Ramsey's agent. I've had guys who played in the league that tells me that a senior vice president has never come up to them and acted that way. Okay. And in the next breath, they want to say, but this is different because he was a coach. I don't care what he was. He's not a coach now. He's not a coach now. You think some retired colonel can go tell a troop in the military or something? Nope. You're retired. You're not in my chain of command. I'm sorry. That's just the way it goes. That's not your job. There's this old saying we had in the military, don't let your rank get in the way of my authority. Doug Marrone had the authority. And granted, there's nothing that says that Tom Coughlin doesn't have the authority to do it. But even if he believed that, and if you believe that, it's counterintuitive for him to use it when Marrone should have used it. What he should have done was go to Marrone and say, look, you have to nip this in the bud and give him some coaching advice, and then I'll Doug Marrone to make that decision. When your coach stands up at a press conference and says, I wish somebody else was here to answer these questions, that means he doesn't have the answers. He doesn't have the answers because he's not in the loop of somebody else's activity. But the other guy has the answers for what Doug Marrone was supposed to be doing, because he's constantly speaking out about guys not working out. He's constantly speaking out about what should be going on. He's constantly speaking out against and saying how immature guys are, whatever. Okay, so now you have this thing. And I tell you what the thing is for me. When a guy has a problem with someone, and then you go right to the coach and you ask the coach, do you have a problem? The coach says no. So what you're doing is this. How many of you grown people out there would like to hear your dad tell his friends that your children are out of line and they're undisciplined? Seriously. How many people would you, if you're at Thanksgiving dinner here next week and your father or your mother talks about your children, their grandchildren, and said they are unruly and undisciplined, you know who they're really talking to? They're talking to you. Because it's your responsibility to make sure that they're not that way. But then they don't even address you. They go around it and they talk about your kids and they discipline your kids and you're standing right there. How does that make you feel? What does it make you feel like you're doing? It feels like you're falling short. So then imagine this. Somebody who was there comes up to you or somebody who witnessed it and says, what are you doing about your unruly kids? And you say, I don't have a problem with my kids. Ain't nothing wrong with my kids. Me and my kids are good. But then they say, well, your daddy said, he said, well, you got to go ask him about that. I don't know. That's how weird this all got for me this year. That's how weird all of this got for me. And that's not on Doug Marrone. That's on his boss. That's on his boss. And his boss's boss needs to look at that and say, that's a problem, and we got to nip this in the bud and move forward. Because you can fire Doug Marrone all you want to, but if you don't change the person that does that, then it's going to happen again. And it's going to happen again. Unless he wants to come down and coach the team himself, and good luck with that, but you can't have that. You cannot have that. That is a straight-up circumventing and usurping of somebody's authority that absolutely needs authority to be a part of what they do on a daily basis, or it's going to fail. Enjoy the game this weekend. We'll see how it goes. I'm telling you something. I usually don't name drop. I don't usually like getting guys I like fired or nothing like that. But something's got to give, man. Something's got to give. And we're going to see this Sunday all of this talk and all of these speeches by these players and all of this we getting along and all of this stuff. Yeah, we'll see Sunday if it's for real with your effort and how you play. And if not, A lot of heads are going to roll in the offseason for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and it might start before that. It's Locked On Jaguars, Tony Wiggins. Have a nice weekend.